Hello, and welcome to Book Blurbs. I'm Gabrielle Sutherland.
And I'm Ricky Smith.
Here at Book Blurbs, it is our mission to empower readers and writers and encourage others to read.
We strive to highlight books about girls and people of color. We are located in the Baltimore area.
Today, we are joined by Ethan Sutherland, who will be filling in for Brielle today. We are going to be reading excerpts of books that we are reading so that you can find out about books that we like to read. The book that I'm going to be reading is Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus by Dusty Bowling. Ricky will be reading How High the Moon by Karen Parsons. And Ethan will be reading Justin and the Best Biscuits in the Whole World by Mildred Pitts Walter. I'll start by reading Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus by Dusty Bowling. I'm going to read part of the first chapter. When I was little, a kid pointed at me on the playground and shouted, "Her arms fell off," then ran away screaming in terror to his mom, who had to cuddle him on her lap and rub his head for like 10 minutes to get him to calm down. I think, up until then, I hadn't thought about the idea that my arms must have actually fallen off at some point in my life. I had never really thought about not having arms at all. My missing arms weren't an issue for me or my parents. I never once heard either of them say, "Oh no, Avant can't possibly do that because that's only for armed people." Or, "Maybe Avant can do that one day, you know, if she ever grows some arms." They always said things like, "You'll have to do this differently from other people, but you can manage," and, "I know this is challenging, keep trying," and, "You're capable of anything, Avin." I had never realized just how different I was until the day that horrible kid shouted about my arms having fallen off. For the first time, I found myself aware of my total armlessness, and I guess I felt like I was sort of naked all of a sudden. So I, too, ran to my mom, and she scooped me up and carried me away from the park, allowing my tears and snot to soak her shirt. As she drove us home that day, I sat whimpering in my car seat and asked her what had happened to my arms and why they'd fallen off. She told me they hadn't fallen off. I was just born like that. I asked her how I could get some new ones. She said I couldn't. I wailed in despair, and she told me to stop crying because having arms was totally overrated. I didn't know what overrated meant at the time because, like I said, I was really little, and so was my brain. I kind of figured it out over the next few days, though, because my parents were constantly saying things like, "Coloring this picture with my hands is okay, but if only I could color it with my feet like Avin, now that would be fantastic." And, "Eating spaghetti with my arms is just so boring. I wish I could eat it with my feet." Dad even went so far as to ask Mom if there were any arm removal services in the area. Growing up, I could do most everything everyone else with arms could do: eating cereal, brushing my teeth and hair, and getting dressed. Sure, these things take longer for me. Sometimes they take a lot longer. Sometimes I have to use a special tool, like a hook or a strap or something like that. And every now and then I want to scream in frustration and kick a pillow until the stuffing comes out because it's taken me 20 minutes to get my pants buttoned. But I can button my pants. I think I can do all these things because my parents have always encouraged me to figure things out on my own. Well, more like made me figure things out on my own. I suppose if they had always done everything for me, I would be helpless without them. But they didn't, and I'm not. And now that I'm 13 years old, I don't need much help with anything. True story. That's where I'm going to stop. Ricky, what are you reading?
My book is How High the Moon by Karen Parsons. And Mama's house wasn't far from the station. She kept apologizing for us having to do all that walking, but compared to back home, it wasn't nothing at all. Along the way, Mama pointed out important buildings and landmarks. None of the names really stuck. I was mostly just amazed by how enormous they were, taller than any buildings I'd ever seen anywhere in South Carolina. How could I possibly focus on what Mama was saying with all that noise, with all that commotion? The school playground at 3 o'clock wasn't even so loud and wild. Here there were machines and cars and trolleys and hordes of people. Lots and lots of people. All shouting and blaring and rushing at once. The whole place seemed big and there was so much going on. More than once, I grabbed Mama's arms, yanking at her when a car seemed to lurch toward us, or when there was loud and some horn honking. The city wasn't what I was expecting. I guess I knew it would be big. And Henry had talked a lot about how tall the buildings were, so I should have knew to expect that. I knew it was going to have more people and more cars, but I think the big surprise for me that was that it was so wild. And that's where I'll stop.
We'll be right back with the rest of this episode, but first, a word from our sponsor. Are you looking for masks? Then you should go to Go Crafty. Go Crafty's masks are unique because they are personalized to your size and style, and they have over 80 different fabrics for you to choose from. They have lots of different add-ons, such as nose pieces, filter pockets, and adjustable straps. But most of all, they are made with love and care. Just go to gocrafty.square.site for your comfortable, personalized, and fashionable mask. Now, we're back with the end of this episode.
Now I am going to read an excerpt from Justin and the Best Biscuits in the World by Mildred Pitts Walter. Alone with his grandpa, he wanted to fling himself into grandpa's arms. He loved grandpa more than anyone, but he sat on his bed, unable to move, unable to speak. He struggled to hold back rising tears. Grandpa stood waiting. Finally, Justin said, "I can't stand it here. I can't do anything right. Nothing." The tears slashed, and he quickly brushed them away with the back of his hand. He burned with shame. His grandpa seeing him cry like a baby. Grandpa still waited quietly. That's what Justin liked about him. Grandpa didn't rush him. He listened. Justin went on. "I don't like to clean the house, Grandpa, and I don't like to wash dishes, and I hate folding clothes. And to make your bed, pick up your things, and to tidy up your room, eh?" Suddenly, Justin was aware of how messy his room looked. His grandpa reached out and touched his shoulder. When Justin looked up, he saw that look on his grandpa's face that was always there after a great joke. They both burst out laughing. "How would you like to come home to the ranch with me? It's festival time again." Justin beamed. He loved the big rodeo, the games, and the parade in Grandpa's town. "You know those black cowboys I've been telling you about? Their rodeo is performing. "You're kidding, Grandpa." "I kid you not. Can I really come?" Justin asked. "Let's just ask your mama." He winked at Justin.
And that's the end of this episode today. Thank you for listening, and send us any questions or comments you have, and you might be featured on the next episode of Book Blurbs.
To learn more about this podcast, you can visit our website at anchor.fm/book-blurbs.
I'm Gabrielle Sutherland.
And I'm Ricky Smith.
Keep on reading.
We'll see you next time.